This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the 2B2 Podcast. Daddy, Dave, and Steve are awesome!
I took a mental health day on Friday. I put in for that vacation like 4 weeks ahead of time.
Yeah.
And I was burnt. I was ready for it. But I spent my entire Friday and Saturday like setting up the game room.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it was cool. It was something that I wanted to do, but it was something I needed to do. And when you've got a TV, an old TV on a shelf, you don't really want to move the shelf around too much.
No. No,
because it's either the options are either move the shelf with the TV on it and all the other game consoles, which is super heavy.
Yeah.
Or take the TV off and then move the shelves. And I opted to take off some of the things from the top shelf and move the shelf with the TV on it.
Yeah.
And that was excruciating and painful and not very fun. So I rewired the Super Nintendo and the N64 for S-Video. And then decided – I went out and got a – so the dust sleeves for Nintendo games. You remember those?
The yeah.
Black,
yeah. Yeah,
the little envelopes.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are kind of – I wouldn't say in high demand, but if you're going to be a collector, chances are you want to have dust covers. And they go for about $1 a piece.
Yeah. Well,
I have 200 games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awful expensive just to – buy protection for your collection.
Yeah, that's not even like full boxes with a good looking library. That's just let me protect the games.
Oh yeah.
So I went over to my local game exchange the other day and I was looking for something else, and I was talking to the dude there, and he's like, oh yeah, we got a bunch of — I had mentioned that I have a pretty decent sized Nintendo collection. And he's like, oh yeah, we have dust sleeves if you ever need them. And I was like, yeah, I'll come back and get some dust sleeves. How much are they? They said 50 cents, which is a great deal.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and came in the next day, and I was like, I was talking to one of your guys, and they said you guys had a bunch of dust sleeves. Give me 50 of them. And they're like, oh, we don't have 50 of them.
Yeah. Like, well, I'll take all that you got.
Okay, then give me what you have. So yeah. I got 40 dust sleeves.
Dude, that's pretty good though, because what'd you get them for? Like 50 cents a piece or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. So I spent about 20 and some change once you get taxes involved.
Yeah.
For like 40 dust sleeves.
Hell yeah, dude.
So I'm doing that, and then there's a website that I found that's selling reproduction dust sleeves.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to be doing those pretty soon. But that one you can buy like an entire pallet of dust sleeves.
Yeah.
So you could buy like — God. For like $20 you can get like 50 or 60 of them.
Oh wow.
So yeah. But you have to — these are different, you have to put them together.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it sounds like a pain in the ass.
Yeah, but it'll be worth it once I get the game. So my next step — this is the beginning of phase two of rearranging the room and getting things fixed.
Yeah.
And so phase two started off with dust sleeves and getting S-Video signal out of stuff. And so it's going to continue on with getting a new media shelf and getting all the games on. Try to get like at least most of the games onto one shelf versus having like three different shelves full of crap.
I can dig it. Yeah, it's the protection is kind of crazy on how the protection can be cost more than some of the — like I got these figure shield cases for my 40th anniversary figures, the 6-inch figures that are on like the vintage style cards or whatever. I mean, it's actual reproductions of the vintage style cards. And for, I think it was 15 of them, where there's like the original 12 is what they did, but there's a total of 15 because they wound up doing a R5-D4 and then a Luke Skywalker, the Rebel pilot Luke and whatever. And, you get these they're basically clamshell like cases type things, and you know, of course they're clear see-through plastics, so that way it protects them. And then like the 15 of them cost me, I think it was like $90 or whatever. Like, it's stupid. It was just absolutely stupid. Damn. And then, yeah, and then the, you know, the ones that protect the Black Series figures, and those are Black Series figures themselves, but in like the regular, like, boxes for the regular Black Series line, you know, they're probably like, what, I can't remember what the name of the website that you can go to, but they're basically, it's some company that builds that makes cases for Nintendo games. And you can get them through there. And so it's kind of like this really flimsy plastic. Like, it's not really great, but it's cheaper than the AFA stuff. The AFA plexiglass ones are like $15 to $16 a piece. Whereas these kind of flimsy plastic things, just to kind of protect the edges and stuff, I think they're like, what were they like? I think they're like $4 or $5 a piece. But of course, like, you buy in bulk, then the cheaper the price goes down. But, you know, it's still like 30 cases cost you like, what, like, I think it was like 40, 50 bucks or something like that. It's still like not cheap, but, and of course I have way more than 30 figures, so I'd probably need to do like two or three that time. So it's just a pain in the butt, dude. Like, that's all it is. Just a pain in the butt.
Well, I just found out I was over at Target the other day. And I ended up finding, I was shopping for my nephew's birthday. But I've got two nephews, both of their birthdays, they decided to have them on the same day.
Yeah.
So I'm going through the toy aisle, and Marvel has started doing the same thing with putting their action figures in their old card stock.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so what they've done is the original Marvel figures back in the 80s, I don't remember what specific time, but I have an Iron Man from that time frame, is when they were doing the Secret Wars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the Secret Wars figures were like a 5-point articulation, kind of rubbery plastic figures. They had shields with inserts, but they were lenticular shields, so you get to see them, you know, changing into different things.
That's one of my weaknesses, is lenticulars, man. I don't know what it is. I love lenticulars. That's a way to get me to jump on just about anything. Anyway, sorry, dude, didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Oh, no, it's good. But anyway, they have characters that were never involved with the Secret Wars line, but they have like an Iron Man. They have a 1980s Iron Man armor, Iron Man one. They're 6-inch figures, giant cardstock, but they're designed to look like the old Secret Wars style cards.
Yeah.
But they had Black Widow, Punisher, Iron Man. I'm trying to think of who else they had. Those were the three that they had at the store, but I'm pretty sure they had like Captain America and whatnot.
Yeah.
Now they don't have the lenticular shields with them this time, but it's the same card stock or the same type of card design. It just doesn't say Secret Wars on it.
Oh, okay.
But it's got that very like 80s. These were sold in the 80s kind of time frame.
Yeah.
So the cards are similar to those, but they don't have the Secret Wars logo. Oh, there was a Spider-Man. Because that was another one that was a big one. But yeah. The Punisher one was really cool, man. He had like a changeable head. So you could either go with like Frank Castle normal, or you could get Frank Castle in the white headband.
Oh, wow.
That he wore in the 80s.
Yeah, that's cool. So he's kind of like Rambo with the headband type thing or whatever.
For a short period of time, yeah. He wore a headband. When wearing the headbands were cool.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of wearing headbands, have you seen the Karate Kid?
No, I haven't, man. Hold on just a second. Just a second. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radcast, the podcast where your nerd card is accepted. And with me today, as always, is my friend and co-host. We have the amazing Adamantian Adam.
It's Adam. Are we doing Radcast? Or are we doing 2BT?
It's technically 2BT, but I just wanted to do an old school Radcast intro just real quick. I figured like this was technically just supposed to be an audio test to see like, cause Adam and I are not sitting together like what we would usually record. He's at his house and I'm at my house. So I don't know how this is going to work out. So this is kind
this
of
is
like
either going to be really great or really horrible.
And I figured that since we're already like 11 minutes into recording to do technically a test, I figured let's just run with it and say that this is going to be the show whether we like it or not, because it's very, very,
we've
very
come down
minute.
To crunch time is what that means.
Basically.
We've been both very busy, busy birds.
Yeah. I was even off this week and I've been crazy busy. It's just been one of those weeks, man.
Yeah. Well, I took Friday off, so yeah. I don't know where my time has gone. I still have laundry to do, you know, a house to vacuum.
Vacuum? What's that? No, I do vacuum every once in a while, but now that I have wood floors, I don't have to worry about that very much. But anyways, going back to what you were talking about, the Cobra Kai, is that the what you were about to lead into, the Karate Kid thing on YouTube or whatever?
Yeah, the first two. Okay, so I am probably never going to buy YouTube Red.
Yeah.
As much as I'm into you being a YouTuber and everything that I do is on YouTube, I'm probably never going to buy YouTube Red.
I don't blame you. I'm never going to do it either.
But the first two episodes of the Cobra Kai show that they're using to push YouTube Red is out, so everybody can watch those for free.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're really good.
Really?
These were the Karate Kid sequels we deserved.
Yeah, not that crap that we got with the Karate Kid 2, and wasn't like the fourth. I know they did 2, and where he went to Japan with Mr. Miyagi, and they had the little thing with the little drums, and they sit there and rattle them back and forth while they beat up some Japanese dude or whatever. And then they had Karate Kid 3. I can't remember the whole theme or basis of Karate Kid 3.
Karate Kid 3 was really that a Mr. Miyagi story. Okay. So that was when
was Daniel-san in that one, or was that the one with the chick?
No, Daniel-san was in that one. The next one was the next Karate Kid.
Oh, okay, yeah. And that was kind of...
So Karate Kid 3, so the Cobra Kai sensei dude, and I can't remember that dude's name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Anyway, in Karate Kid 2, Mr. Miyagi kicks his ass, right? So he embarrasses him because he's beaten up on Johnny for losing the match from Karate Kid 1.
Yeah, honks.
Yeah, he does the honk and then he passes out or whatever.
Live or die.
So then that dude calls his sensei, essentially. Some like ponytailed out hardcore karate.
Steven Seagal, basically.
Yeah, a Steven Seagal lookalike, at least. And gets him to start jacking with Daniel-san to mess with Mr. Miyagi. Yeah. And the big plot point in that one was that Miyagi had planted a bonsai tree on the side of a very steep chasm somewhere.
Yeah, they didn't have the money for Steven Seagal is what it was.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And so this dude, like, they have to go harvest that tree because something happened with the other bonsai trees. Because he's doing a bonsai tree shop now. He's not just a fix-it dude.
Yeah.
And ponytail duder or his the bad guy kid was the dude from what's that? It's not Full House. What was the one with the Lamberts?
I should know this. What was that? Was that the what was that? Crap, dude, that's gonna kill me now. Didn't it have Jason Bateman in it?
No, the dude's name is Sasha something.
I don't know. Lost
let's
me.
See. Oh, what was the name of that show? Give me a second. I'm gonna hit the Google machine.
Oh, yeah. I've been wanting to check that out. I didn't know that they had the first two episodes for free for the Karate Kid. I don't guess it's Karate Kid. I guess it's technically it's Cobra Kai. But I hadn't heard anything bad about it, but I'd heard that technically it was going to be like a parody almost or whatever. So I was kind of like, oh man, like you got me all sorts of hyped up for it. And I was all sorts of excited because I mean, Karate Kid, dude, that's right in my wheelhouse. You know, I can't remember what year that came out, but you know, that was one of those movies. I definitely remember going to the movie theater and watching and being like, oh my gosh, everybody's, you know, it's not just kung fu fighting. Now it's like, let's take karate. Come on now. Like, why not? Of course, never did, because, you know, I grew up in a small town and, you know, they were like, karate, what the devil is that? Is that some sort of like, you know, Jedi mind trick stuff or something? Of course, they wouldn't said Jedi mind trick because they probably, well, no, I'll take that back. They would have because it was like mid 80s, probably about like 85, 86, I guess that Karate Kid came out maybe.
I can't remember. I'm still trying to look it up. I'm horrible at this.
Right. Here I am. I'm trying to vamp, and I was like, oh, come on, Adam. What the hell are you doing, dude?
Hurry it up. This isn't like looking up one actor. No, I'm pulling up TGIF, but I'm finding, like, Perfect Strangers, and that's not what I'm looking. I'm looking for stuff that's later
oh,
on.
Oh, yeah. Cousin Letty. Cousin Letty. That was Perfect Strangers.
Did you ever see the Perfect Strangers or Perfect Stranger Things?
No. What?
I think it was on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
And so they got Balky and Larry together, and they did a like a a 10-minute comedy skit of Perfect Stranger Things.
That's awesome. No, I had no idea. I love the Jimmy Fallon stuff that he does, man. Some of the stuff that he does is just ridiculous. Even the games that he plays, man. I watched him and he was playing a game with Jason Momoa where it's like pouring the water on each other's heads or whatever. And I was like, dude, that guy's big. Like I'm a tall guy myself, and Jason Momoa like looks me in the eyes. And then not only that, like he's just one ripped up dude. Like, yeah, I wouldn't want to, you know, anything like that, or like play slaps with a dude. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Step by step.
Step by step. Day by day.
Day by day.
Fresh start over, different hand to play. What was that? That was the one with Urkel, with Steve Urkel and stuff, wasn't it? Karate Kid.
Give me a second.
Karate Kid was 1984, so a year after Return of the Jedi. So,
which one was Step by? Come on, show me the thing. I just need to see the people.
Step by step.
I think this is it. They're riding a roller coaster.
Oh yeah, Frank Lambert is a construction worker.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Step yeah, by yeah. Step. Yeah.
Okay,
dude.
So
Suzanne Summers in it.
Yeah, so Sasha, the goofy cousin in that
we just
show.
Spent like 10 minutes trying to find out what the hell that was. Anyways,
so the doofy cousin in that one, who's kind of a really bad Ted.
Oh yeah.
Theodore Logan impression, essentially. He's like, dude,
yeah.
Anyway, he's a real life martial artist.
Ah, Colby
and
Lambert
and a wife beater.
Yeah,
Cody. That's what his name is in the show. Anyway, he was the bad guy. He was the Johnny of Karate Kid 3.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. Oh, he's a kickboxer. Wow. Yeah. Well, we have just spiraled down to a new level on this one. Like, I would have never gotten Step by Step, man. I remember the theme song, Step by Step. Yeah, it's They even had like a roller coaster. I think they're supposed to, they were supposed to be in Green Bay or something like that. Green Bay.
I don't remember, but they have the, I found like some sort of wiki thing and they have a step by step intro. So I was just like, I think this is it. I remember the roller coaster.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I saw the dude from Dallas, I was like, okay, yeah, this is the right show.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Patrick Duffy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Suzanne Summers, the Thigh Master.
Was that pre or post Thighmaster?
That was pre Thighmaster. Okay. Yeah, I think her career started doing the downward spiral shortly after. That's the reason why she did the Thighmaster. I gotta say though, man, that chick, you know, being on Three's Company back in like the 70s or whatever that time that show came on or whatever, you know, all the way to the 90s, you know, like 20 years later, man, she held up really well. You know, like she looked really good at the time that Step by Step came on. She still looks great. I probably shouldn't be judging her on that, and I'm not. So don't hate me, internet. I'm just saying, just complimenting her. Because, like, honestly, it's one of those shows. I remember that was on part of the, like, what was that? That was part of the Fox TGIF or whatever. Was it Fox that did
ABC.
The TGIF? ABC
did the TGIF. ABC had the TGIF. So yeah. I've actually got a list pulled up. So this will be we're just going to shoot all over the place here, man. We're not even going to try to stay on any kind of topic. So, first show they have there's Perfect Strangers. We talked about Perfect Strangers.
Oh, yeah. Great. Cousin Letty.
Yeah. That was, so that had a spinoff show.
Oh my God.
They Family just, Matters.
Family Matters was a spinoff of that?
Yep. So the wife.
Yeah.
In Family Matters was a security guard.
Oh.
At the newspaper that Larry and Balky worked at.
Oh my gosh. I had no idea.
And she was the same character from there to the other one. So they both take place in Chicago, I believe.
See, I always thought Family Matters was a spinoff of Die Hard because the dad in Family Matters played the cop. It was a cop and he played a cop in Die Hard also.
Yeah. You didn't have to, like, how awesome would that job be? You didn't have to change your costume.
Yeah,
at all.
Right.
They just went from like one shoot to the other in the same costume.
They just had to change the patches on the police uniform. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's like, here you go.
And it's probably just Velcroed on. Right. So next is Full House, blah. We know Full House. That one's now this one. I don't remember being on the TGIF lineup, but let me know if you remember this being on the lineup.
All right.
Mr. Belvedere.
No, I don't remember that one being on the TGIF lineup. That must have been early in the run or whatever. Or maybe it was late in Belvedere's run, but
according to this, it ran from 85 to 90.
I don't even remember TGIF starting in the 80s, man. Like, I remember that being predominantly like a 90s thing or whatever in like early 90s, I thought.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The TGIF lineup was maybe 89.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it being as far. They're saying that let's see.
I think the anchor
of the original TGIF lineup in 1988. Now, I remember watching Mr. Belvedere on a different night, like Wednesday nights or something.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I never really watched Mr. Belvedere. Like, I didn't really care for it. But I do remember it being on a different night. I don't remember it being on Friday night because I used to watch the TGIF, man. Like, and it was
I think we all did.
Yeah, it was that one show was like Valerie or whatever that had Jason Bateman on it. And then they changed the name afterwards and they brought in Sandy Duncan. And then,
I vaguely remember that show.
Yeah. And it's like where Jason Bateman got his start at. And then, I remember that show. I remember the Family Matters. I want to say Dinosaurs was on TGIF.
Yeah, Dinosaurs was definitely on TGIF. Yeah. Here's another show. And I remember the name, but I don't remember anything about this show.
All right.
Just the 10 of Us.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I do remember.
It was a spinoff of Growing Pains.
Yes. It was a coach that was, he was like a basketball coach, I think, at like the Seavers High School or whatever. And it really had nothing to do with anybody that was really even related to any of the Seavers or anything like that. And I don't even remember the dude being in anything to do with Growing Pains, but I guess it was something like similar or whatever because, yeah, I actually do remember that. But they had like a giant family, so that was the reason why it was just the 10 of us or whatever. But yeah, I actually do remember that. Let me know if I totally butchered that explanation. I think I might have, but I do vaguely remember.
You're doing better than I do because I don't even remember that damn thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to move on. Family Matters, of course. That's the Urkel show. We're all familiar with that. Next up is Dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
Dinosaurs was awesome.
Yeah.
Step by Step, which we've covered. Boy Meets World, which I wasn't a big Boy Meets World kind of guy. Here's one that I didn't know that was on the TGIF lineup, Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Cooper. Yeah. I don't remember that one being on TGIF either. Cooper or something like that. I think that's how I don't know what that says
about
me.
I'm
going to
check your accuracy. I'm going to watch the...
What was it? It was something to that, man. That's the bad, like, I can remember songs. Oh.
Okay, it sounds like, remember the song, I Want to Sex You Up?
Yeah, because it's like, Koopa.
Yeah. So it's got a very, like, I Want to Sex You Up kind of sound.
Yeah, but it was with Cooper instead.
It's hanging with Mr. Cooper, yeah, but it's Cooper.
Yeah.
Sister Sister, which I remember Sister Sister, but I thought that was a Disney show.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember Sister Act with Whoopi Goldberg, but I don't remember Sister Sister.
Tia and Tamara, what was their last name?
Oh, the twins?
Yeah, the twin chicks.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was Sister Sister. So it was sort of like a Parent Trap kind of television show where I think they had to like get the parents together, but they decided to all live in one house, even though they were separated and they had the two daughters.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I thought that was, wasn't that the little girl Olivia? But no, that was Raven Simone. She had that show, That's So Raven. But yeah. Never mind. So,
Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah. I don't remember. I do vaguely remember that one being TGIF. I think around that time. I think around that time is whenever I quit watching because I remember it being on there, but I don't. I never really watched that show.
I remember trying to watch it and really hoping it would be like the next, what is it? Clarissa Explains It All.
I don't know. I know. I don't think I ever saw Clarissa. You never saw it?
Okay. So that was Melissa Joan Hart's like first show. And I think that was on Nickelodeon.
Oh, that's why I didn't have cable.
Okay. So she had a show on Nickelodeon called Clarissa Explains It All. And then when that show ended, she went on to Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah. Yeah, because like in like 86, we moved out into the country and couldn't get cable. And so it was kind of nice growing up like that because most of our time was spent outside. But then there was all sorts of hell raising that went on, outside, whatever.
You get that way in the country, especially if you don't have access to cable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because there's nothing to watch. You're like, okay, I can watch UPN Channel 21. Or,
you know, watch all the, yeah, you can watch all the Star Trek Next Generation you want.
Exactly. What was it? Gomer Pyle, USMC, Beverly Hillbillies. Yeah. Those were all during the day, man. Those were like whenever it's too hot to go outside and play. I watched a ton of Beverly Hillbillies, Gilligan's Island, but who doesn't love Gilligan's Island?
They had the Munsters too, didn't they? They had Munsters.
Yeah, and, the Munsters and the Addams Family.
Yeah. Oh, that was terrific.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. So, quick question for you. It's totally like kind of on topic, but totally off topic also at the same time. So, Ginger or Marianne?
Ginger was the movie star.
Yeah, right? Ginger was the movie star. Marianne was the country girl. Or the
I gotta go with the redhead, man.
Dude, that's the same here. It's the red hair. It kills me every time. Yeah, she could have been a train wreck and had that red hair, and I've been like, all right. Yeah.
But, so here's another show in the lineup that I didn't know. I honestly didn't know this show existed.
All right.
Clueless, the television show.
Oh, yeah. Actually, wasn't that a television show before the movie?
No, it was a movie first.
Okay.
But they apparently did a television show based off of the movie. They said it first showed up on ABC from 1996 to 97 before it moved to UPN for two more seasons.
Yeah.
I didn't even know this. I didn't even know Clueless television show existed.
Didn't the TV show even have Donald Faison or whatever his name is, the guy that played he was also in Scrubs, but he was in the actual movie Clueless as well.
He might have been. I have no idea. I didn't even know this existed, dude. This is my first time seeing this.
Yeah. I vaguely remember it. That's the reason why I thought the show actually came out before the movie did, because I thought the movie was in like the late 90s, early 2000s.
It was mid 90s. Okay. Let me check on.
this is damn ridiculous. We're debating the release dates of the Clueless TV show and freaking movie.
July 19th, 1995, the television show came out in 96.
Oh, okay.
A TV show that I didn't even know was around. Okay.
Right.
So.
Wow. Yeah.
Check out some other shows. Did you ever watch Parker Lewis Can't Lose?
I did watch Parker Lewis Can't Lose. Man, that was very, very. And Donald Faison was in the TV show also.
Oh, was awesome. He in that as well?
Yeah. Oh, and Alyssa Donovan was there too, the redheaded chick from the movie Clueless. Wow. That's pretty impressive. But anyways, sorry. debating the canonicity of Clueless. Anyways, what was Parker Lewis Can't Lose? I just remember that show was very, very, very 1990s, man. Like,
he had
the shirt that was like black on one side and then like yellow on the other side or whatever. You know, it's totally like just that classic 90s kind of had the Beverly Hills 90210 hair with a little like up and flop over thing with the long sideburns and stuff. I don't think he had the long sideburns, but yeah, very 1990s.
So Parker Lewis was my fashion inspiration for middle school.
And, with your Bugle Boy jeans?
Bugle Boy jeans, and the shirt was a silk shirt. I remember asking my parents for a silk shirt, and it did the same thing where it was like predominantly one color, and then like a third of it would be a different color altogether.
Oh, yeah. I never had a silk shirt. I think it was rayon. It was like that imitation silk, like that fake silk. And I thought it was so awesome, man. I wore it and thought I was like all sorts of just really cool. And then I take it and I wash it and throw it in the dryer and you can't dry rayon. And it struck up like eight sizes, dude. Like, it really like came out of the dryer, like the size of like a teacup towel or something like that. Like it's stupid.
Well, at least you did it with a rayon shirt and not with a silk shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
This boy did it with a silk shirt.
Oh, no.
I don't know what I was. Well, I was a kid, but I don't know. That had to have been an expensive shirt.
Yeah.
To get a silk shirt.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, number one. Number two, I was doing my own laundry, but I had no idea. I mean, outside of like throwing a bunch of clothes into a washer and dryer.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And so I'm sure my parents were kind of peeved at the fact that I washed a silk shirt. I was just trying to take care of my clothes.
This is whenever you turn it back on them and be like, "That's what you get for making me do my own laundry, Mom." There's a reason why I did my own.
You can't wash a silk shirt. And, what do you do with it? You dry clean it. And I'm like, well, dry cleaning, it's going to cost an entire
allowance.
Weeks yeah. worth of allowance.
Yeah.
I got to go play Street Fighter, man.
Yeah, right. What am I going to do with my quarters, Ma? I got to have my quarters. Oh, my. That's just ridiculous. Oh, is there any more game, the TV shows on that lineup, the TGI?
No, that was it for the lineup. I mean, Parker Lewis, I believe, was Fox, so that was a different show altogether. But
yeah.
I just – that came up in one of those things. Square Pegs. What the hell is –
Oh, I kind of remember that show, Square Pegs. I don't remember what it's about, but I do remember that there was a show called Square Pegs.
I'm looking at posters. They all have the same poster with this like weird, brightly colored, wobbly letters.
Oh, yeah.
And just lines that come out of nowhere for no reason.
Yeah.
So there's Parker Lewis, Square Pegs. Come on, there's got to be a Blossom somewhere around here.
I don't know if Blossom was on the TGIF, man.
No, it wasn't. It was on a different show. Okay, I'm just thinking out loud of like all these different shows.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and segue us off, and then going to keep us doing a little bit of retro talk, because like I said, I want to talk a little bit about the National Video Game Museum, because I went to that this past week. And you've been there before, I've been there. You and I've both been there together before, and then I went there this past week. Just as like a grins type thing, like I actually had a free day on my vacation. And it was bad because I think whenever you and I went there, there wasn't hardly anybody in there. We went during the middle of the week and it was great. You know, you didn't have to wait in line for anything. We were able to just walk up and play the giant Pong machine that they have. And I get there and there's like five school buses in the parking lot. And then the parking lot's just full of like cars, man. So I was just like, oh, dude. This is going to suck. Like, there's going to be so many people in there. I'm not going to be able to do anything. I'm not going to be able to see anything. And I debated for a second. I was like, do I even go in? And I was like, no, dude, you drove all this way. Let's go inside and check it out, which is kind of funny because I remember the first time wherever you and I went, I was expecting the National Video Game Museum to basically be in some dude's house, like in the back of his house. And it's going to be like, here's these consoles that I have and here's these video games that I have. That's welcome to the tour. That'll be $5. But it's not. It's actually in a really, really, really nice building. It's in Frisco, Texas, and the building itself also has like another museum. It's like a kids discovery center type thing or whatever. There's a black box theater and like a train museum, I think, that they're building there or whatever. But it's in that facility, and the museum itself is really, really nice, man. It's really impressive. To the display, whenever you walk in, that they've got like all these machines that are all painted gold and they're kind of set up like artfully on like a wire rack hanging like from the ceiling. And it is art, basically, I guess, you know, but I don't know why I said they got to set up artfully. But, you know, as you go and you pay, it's $12 to get in. You get your wristband and then you get four tokens with your entry fee. And as soon as you walk in, this is a giant, Pong machine. I think you and I played a game of Pong, and that was one of those that I don't remember it being that hard. Like, it was weird.
Yeah, that's the thing with some of those games. Yeah, Pong was, well, and Breakout is like that. Like, yeah. you didn't realize, like, you remember playing it as a kid, but you don't remember, like, this getting so hard and the ball moving so fast between players.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, Pong was definitely like that. And that with that one, it's especially hard because the knobs are as big as steering wheels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And now they have a little sign on them that says, you know, don't turn it till it squeaks. If you squeaks, then you're turning it too hard or too far or something like that. And it's like, so I'm supposed to be gentle with this thing while trying to move my paddle back really fast to block the blasted ball. But, yeah, it's really cool. All this information I'm going to be telling you can go to our Twitter page, which is at 2BT Show. And, the Facebook page, which is, just, you know, 2BT All in the Family. And you can go there and watch videos. I took videos of it and actually did live videos from it. So if you want to see what I'm actually talking about, you can go there and check that out. But, you know, just a multitude of of machines, of consoles, of controllers, of handhelds, everything like that is like really impressive. Like I said, that's one of those things that I really didn't expect it to be that big of a deal until we got in there and checked it out.
Or you can see half of that and go to my house for free.
Right. Exactly.
No, I love the video game museum. I've actually Twittered with them before.
Oh, really?
Really cool guys. And just a super, it's just a super awesome place to go to. So if you have any kind of nostalgia for original video games, everything from Atari all the way up to modern consoles, they're going to have something. They've got a wall of playable games, so you can go and sit down at one of these old consoles and play a game that you remember playing as a kid.
Oh, yeah. From everything from what, NES all the way up to Sega Dreamcast, I think is what it is.
When the time we went together, they had the Atari 78 busted out, and they had Food Fight in there.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember, I never played Food Fight, but I just remember playing it and going, this is a lot smoother than I remember, like, the Atari 7800 being. I like the 7800, but I'm, like, one of, like, 10 people in the world who have ever had one. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can honestly sit here and say I've never played an Atari 7800. But, I did play a lot while I was there, man. I think I was there for a good like two and a half hours or whatever. And I was just taking my time because, like I said, once I got in there, everybody cleared out and it was great. And I didn't play an entire game of Oregon Trail because that would have just taken way too long. But I did what everybody does and I tried to ford the river whenever it said that it was like 3 feet deep. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll be able to cross this. No problem whatsoever. And I was like, yeah, I'll ford the river. And of course I start going across and I lost 4 oxen and like so many pounds of food and all like this. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. This is a bunch of crap. Just a bunch of crap. So I walked off the first river. I crossed no problem. But then again, I took a ferry across and then yeah. Second one, I rolled the dice and the Oregon Trail guides took my oxen and a lot of stuff. And I think you can hear, I put that one on Facebook and you can actually hear me, hear me get really unhappy with them. And then, there was one display that I did come across that I never realized was Alien. Alien had a game for Atari, the 2600, man. Like yep. I was kind of surprised. It's basically Pac-Man. It looked like they used the Pac-Man engine or whatever, if you can even say Pac-Man engine for back then.
It's all mazes. It's really rough. And there's a weird, well, it's mostly Pac-Man.
Yeah.
But there's a segment of it that's, like Frogger.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there is. And so what you do is like you go around collecting the pellets, just like what you do on Pac-Man, and you even have the power pellets and you get those power pellets or whatever. And then once you clear the screen, then you have the screen where, like you were talking about, that's Frogger, and you make your way across the screen. And then once you do that, it takes you to another Pac-Man maze to where you got to get the pellets again or whatever. And then you actually compress the button on the controller and it looked like your character was firing something. And I tried killing the aliens a couple of times just to see if it worked, and apparently you can't. So I was just like,
yeah, there's like a flamethrower thing that doesn't work.
Yeah it did nothing at all except for just get me killed because I tried killing a couple of the aliens and it just didn't work. And like I said, I had no idea that they had even made a game for, you know, an alien game, Alien, which was the first alien movie by Ridley Scott. You know, I didn't know that they'd even made a game for for Atari for that.
There's a couple of weird games that are for Atari that you wouldn't think. There's a He-Man game. There's a G.I. Joe game.
Which, oh, wow.
I haven't played it.
Yeah.
I bought it a while ago, but I haven't popped it in the Atari because I haven't had it hooked up. Now that I got my systems hooked up, I'll pop it in and give it a try, see what it's like. But they also made a Porky's.
Oh. So do you like stare through the wall at like naked chicks in the shower or something like that or what?
I don't know. I haven't played it, but there is a Porky's Atari 2600 game.
Really? That's crazy. A Porky's Atari 2600 game. But yeah, after that, you know, they've got like the whole setup that's like the bedrooms, which the bedrooms were great because it's, you know, the one bedroom, they have the bedroom and the living room, and the living room has got an Atari 2600 hooked up in it. And it's very, very similar to the living room that was in my parents' house whenever I was growing up, you know, wood paneling on the walls and the big, I can't remember what TV that they have, but it's, my ours was a Zenith, and it was the big wood cabinet TV, you know, and it's just great, man. Just great old. Even the carpet looked like our carpet. It was that weird kind of tan brown with the dark,
that off green with like bits of yellow.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
shag kind of deal.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, the bedroom setup had the Nintendo, the NES in it.
Now, last time that we went, it had Duck Hunt in it.
Yeah.
But this is the bedroom that we all wish we had when we were a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With your clock radio.
Clock radio, posters that are hung up. There's like Garbage Pail Kid stickers on like a shelf somewhere.
California raisins.
And apparently, if you open the drawers, there's X-Men comics.
Yeah, I opened up the drawers and didn't see anything in there, so I guess they might have taken them out or whatever. Of course, and even some of the shelves had VCR tapes. I remember one of them had an Empire Strikes Back VCR tape on one of them, and then there was also a Star Wars novel on another one as well. Of course, I'm always going to remember the Star Wars stuff, but yeah. And I think whenever you and I went, I also tried playing Dragon's Lair and died really, really quick and wasted my quarter because I have never, ever, ever seen somebody successfully play that game besides on Stranger Things. And that was it.
I have the sequel, Dragon's Lair 2, on – there's a company that released the DVDs. So you can actually pop it in your DVD player and use your remote to trigger the movements and stuff.
Really?
So I've got a DVD version of that game, or of the sequel.
Yeah.
But they also have the screw it mode. So you can just watch the whole thing without having to play it because it's such a stupid hard game.
Oh, I know it, man. Cause it gave you flashes of light on what direction that you're supposed to move the stick or whatever on the actual arcade game. It gave you flashes of light, like pointing down, up, and left and right or whatever.
And then there's a specific, I don't remember if it's like the whole screen flashes or the sword flashes or something when you're supposed to press the sword button.
Yeah.
But it's your reaction time has to be like
lightning quick.
Yeah. Microseconds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I actually might want to kind of borrow that from you sometime because I would like to actually I want to see the off screw it mode because I don't want to try to play it because yeah if the DVD game is any bit as hard as the actual arcade game then yeah I just want to see the off screw it mode because I feel like my life is not fulfilled until I actually see what happens in the storyline of this stupid thing.
Yeah, it's I'll see if I can dig it up. My wife went and hid all our DVDs.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So I got to find it.
I sold all mine not too long ago. I mean, every DVD I took it and sold it.
Yeah, she was at that point. She's like, well, I want to sell these DVDs. And I'm like, well, you don't want to sell the music ones because apparently those hold value, which I have no idea.
Because
I've got a couple of like really – I've got a documentary
on copying Eddie Van Halen's. Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be copying Eddie Van Halen sound or whatever.
No, an old cassette, VHS cassette of like how to Van Halen.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, I actually remember coming over to your apartment one time, whenever you lived over there. I think it's Campus Square there in Denton and you were playing that like they trying to copy Eddie Van Halen's sound. It was like awesome. I can dig it.
Oh yeah, that dude was all like the guitar instructor, awesome. Cause he, you know, long blonde hair.
Oh yeah.
Snaggle tooth coked out. like, and here's how you do the riff. And it's like,
did he play drums for Stone Temple Pilots one time?
I'm going to assume that they were both in the same band.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They just thought they played for Stone Temple Pilots. It was Temple Stone Pilots. It was a ripoff band of Stone Temple Pilots. Anyways, this is kind of an inside joke between me and Adam. We had a drummer in one of these bands that we played in that kept saying that he played for Stone Temple Pilots. We called him Snags because it basically just described what this dude looked like. So anyways.
Well, and here's my little, like, I know I'm old. So when we were in our 20s when we were doing that band.
Yeah.
And this dude was older than us, but he couldn't get out of the hair metal scene.
Oh, God, no. Standing on his kick drums, twirling his drumsticks after every song.
Yeah, yeah. And we're just like, okay, dude, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, every time we had to be like, I know you want to, man, but you got to pull that stuff back. We're not playing 80s hair metal. That's not the band's...
No.
That's not the music we're playing.
Yeah, we're not Poison.
And I thought about it the other day, and I was like, if I were to go out and put myself out in one of those, like, musician websites.
Yeah.
And some kids were like, oh, you're a guitar player. Cool. We'll meet up. And then they're describing some post-metalcore, post-hardcore, post-punkcore stuff. Right. And they're like, well, what do you like to play? And I'm like, well, I
like Dream Theater.
Yeah, I like Dream Theater.
Sorry.
I like Rush and
right.
If it's progressive metal, I'll pretty much listen to it.
Yeah.
And yeah. I feel like I would be the old man in the room who's like trying to be hip and cool with the kids, and I just don't think I could pull that off.
Yeah, no.
At least I know when to quit is what I'm going to.
Exactly. I know I can't. I can't do it. I've got too much white in my beard. I'm now gaming for working as a Santa Claus instead of being a musician anymore.
But no, I just need to – we need to find like a band of guys that are just old dudes that just want to like play heavy music.
Right. Do some like – because
no one's going to listen to it. We know that no one's going to listen to it. We're just like, well, we're just going to be old guys playing
right. heavy music. We could be like Slipknot and all wear masks or something like that so people can't see how old we are.
I don't know. I like the idea of a band like Mastodon where it's just like old dudes playing heavy music.
Yeah. There I can dig it. Heck yeah. Yeah. Good times. But anyways, let's get back to what we were talking about with the video game museum, because I got to wrap it up because I really got to get off here soon because I really have to start getting my stuff ready for work tomorrow. So what happens whenever you got to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning? You got to start preparing the night before.
I'm 6:30 myself, so I feel you.
Yeah. So anyways, after the alien display and the little bedroom and / living room display, I did go over to where you were talking about where they have a whole wall of consoles. And this time I think they'd maybe changed it up a little bit because they did have a Sega Dreamcast. And I think the latest console I saw was NES, but then again, I wasn't really looking that hard at what consoles they had set out there. but I sat there and played games of that for a little bit because I saw Excitebike. And my thing is like, dude, I love Excitebike. If you have Excitebike in your NES, I'm going to sit down and play it at least for about like 5 minutes, just because like that was a game I went to so much. I mean, not just, you know, I always loved Super Mario and all like that, but Excitebike was one of those. So I played Excitebike for a little bit, and then there was, I can't remember what it was. I remember playing it on the Dreamcast back in the day when the Dreamcast first come out, and it's like some boat racing game. And I played that for a little bit. And then after you do that, that's basically there at the end, and it funnels you around, and there's an arcade, like an actual true to God arcade set up like it's in the 80s. So you've got awesome, like I heard, I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so. You know,
Vapors.
That was actually playing. I heard some Michael Jackson Beat It. You know, so that was all playing, you know, in the arcade. So it was very, very, very 80s heavy, very felt like you were it's one of those things that's so great because it feels like you walk through a time machine that you're back in the 80s at an arcade and you're, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old again. You know, it's great, you know, or even older than 10, you know. I know the arcades in my town, they always, my parents wouldn't let us go to them a lot. A, because they never wanted to give us quarters, but B, there was always a lot of like older kids hanging out there and, you know, they weren't like the best type of people to be around. Let's put it that way. But yeah, man, I went into the arcade and I, of course, always have to play the Star Wars game, the Vector Graphics. The game is great. Played some Missile Command.
Do they still give you quarters when you buy your ticket?
Yeah. They still give you the 4 tokens whenever you buy your ticket. And then played some Battlezone. I even have the Battlezone for my VR set up here at the house. So anytime I see that's another game I always liked. I always thought that game was so cool because you actually like look through the port on the arcade game. You actually had to look through the port and then
get everybody's else's forehead grease all over your face.
I know it, right? Yeah, that's probably how HIV started, actually. This wasn't from, like, whatever. I heard all sorts of, like, urban myths about how HIV started. It's probably actually just from a arcade game somewhere where somebody had to put their face up against the screen to play the stupid game. But after that, that's basically it, man. It was definitely a good day. I definitely enjoyed the devil out of it, so...
Yeah, I was jealous because I was at work and then I see all these pictures start showing up on Twitter. It's like, oh, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I actually had thought about mentioning that to you and being like, well, you know, you want to go with? And I realized that you were probably having to work and I didn't want to torture you too much because the only day I really had to go was on Tuesday. Every other day after that, I had stuff going on. So I was like, all right.
Yeah, I took my Friday and I ended up staying home and setting up my home setup with all the consoles. I think I've got about 13 consoles set up now.
Oh, wow. That's badass.
Like, I went and one of the things I did was when I went to go get those dust sleeves, I was like, hey, I'll stop off at the thrift store, see what they have.
Yeah.
Something that I've been keeping an eye out for, and it's not coveted by any means. It's just something that I've been wanting for some reason, is there was a time period between tube televisions and flat screen HD televisions.
Oh, yeah,
Where they were flat panel, standard def, 4x3 televisions.
Yep.
And nobody wants them. But I can't seem to I always find one and I'm like, all right, I'll come back later to pick one up. Or it's something's wrong with it, or like the power supply is missing, or something. There's always something that happens.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So I go into the thrift store. They got one for $15.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, okay. They had two of them. So I'm checking out the bigger one, and I'm like, this would be really cool. I look back. Of course, the power supply is missing because it's not using the same type of power supply.
Yeah.
It's using like an adapter. So you'd have to find a 12-volt adapter to find it and plug it in. And since Radio Shack's gone, I'm not going to take a chance buying it off the internet and not make it work or whatever. So I go over to the other one that's smaller, but it's got a pre-attached power supply. I was like, all right, I got to go get it. So I picked it up for $15. And so now I have a setup. This is how goofy I am. So if I've got it set up to where I can just push a switch and I can have a video game playing on both televisions at the same time.
Oh, that's cool. Heck yeah, dude. I don't say that's nerdy. Goofy. Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think that's goofy. I think that's freaking awesome is what that is. I'm like, granted, I don't guess you could play two games at the same time. But, I mean, if you can, that's awesome multitasking. But yeah, that's freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was like, I just want to see if I can do this.
So right.
I set it up because my old school tube television, strangely enough, has an output on it.
Really?
So I can use the output of that and then pipe that into the other television, which is what I did.
Yeah.
And so now I've got, like, I can put on, like, Ninja Gaiden, and it's playing on two televisions at the same time. And
I'm just wow.
And there's, like, no lag difference. Like, and it's interesting to see the differences of how screens work.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get, like, a different refresh rate, and the way it works is completely different from a tube television. But it was really cool, and it's, like I said, it's a bit maybe too much, but...
Yeah.
I think it polishes off the room.
Yeah. It sounds freaking awesome, man. But that's really going to have to do it for me, man. I've really got to go. Sorry, man. I feel like I'm cutting you off, but I really got to call it. So.
Nope, we're good. We did an hour, even though we didn't intend to.
Yeah. Well, we got close to it enough. So anyways, I gave you guys the Twitter address a minute ago. That's @2BTShow. That's @2BTShow. Go by, like us, tell us what you think about us, whatever. Same thing with iTunes. Go by. You know, leave us a review. Just be nice, please. You know, if you want to get a hold of us other than Twitter, you can go by the Facebook page. That's 2BT, all in the family, all in the DA family. And then, if you want to email us, it's @2BTShow. Oh, good God. That's the Twitter address. That's 2BTShow@gmail.com. That's 2BTShow@gmail.com. I think so that's
good. Do my thing?
Yes.
So you can, I do live streams Friday night, every Friday night at midnight. So come join me either on YouTube. So you can go to youtube.com/retroreprise or twitch.tv/retroreprise, which is actually the better stream for some reason. But I do them simultaneously. You can join the chat. So I can chat with you. And then if you're not feeling like catching that then the show shows up the next day on YouTube so you can watch it at your leisure. And I also chop the show up throughout the week. So if you're just interested in a particular topic, you can watch it throughout the week.
Heck yeah, man. Well, that being said, I'm David.
I'm Adam.
2BT, signing out. Fayo con Diaz.
Oh, jeez.
Except you're not talking to me. No, on the contrary, my friends. will honor you for leading this show. You will applaud you, no less enthusiastic than to the sub-literate bastards who follow in this crap. Because by leaving my show, you've shown better judgment than the rest of us. Restored some measure of dignity to this godforsaken festival. Are we all in agreement? Well, then, without any further ado, my good friend.
Good lord. What? What made me this way? It is hot. It is hot.
So hot.
Kind of like me. It is hot.
Yeah, I like fish sticks. I like putting fish sticks in my mouth.
What?
Fish sticks.
Good God.
Oh.
Something went wrong somewhere or something went right somewhere.
Right.
There's a naked chicken there.
Oh, we got him.
Well, I used to love her. But I had to kill her. I used to love her. Oh, yeah, but I had to kill her.
I mean, well, I love you in all sense of the word, all of y'all, but man, whatever. I'm the jerk that wrote a million word prequel to the real story.
All right. Oh, God. Oh. Dude, I like...
I don't read too well.
I don't know my words.
I just like looking at the funny ones.
Do you know your words? I don't know mine. You
get that whole alphabet thing confused. Right? No,
just do like I do. Give up. Just give up on everything. I don't care. The environment's dying. I don't care. Just give up.
Oh, my.
This is fun for anybody listening to this.
Oh, my God.
Gotta play to win,
man. I wanna make love to you, woman. I wanna lay you down by the fire, caress your womanly body, make you moan and perspire.
Yeah, water rum,
sick of rum. Options: I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp.
Burp. Burp, burp.
Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah.
I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, God. It came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if like the...
Yeah. It's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real. Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one day.
He's a little guy, red hair... that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm texting, be like, oh, well, you know, my feet are better than your feet.
Man. You're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Okay.
Where are you from? When I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa.
Now, how dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
By the way, spoilers.
Hey. I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a show what tough is. And
Go home. Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Well, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze.
Oh, no.
And I'm like,
Ujabat the heebie-jeebies.
Hey,
face down in a gutter. I don't want to admit defeat, though.
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all. Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi. Run DMC.
Han, Luke, Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda, Kenobi.
Poe.
Do or do not, there is no try.
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine. Betray you.
Chewbacca. You know, R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. Go.
Dang it. Yeah. But, yeah, like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans, a wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.